And I began in the name of Jesus. Amen. I think over time, many of us come to believe that the image that we get of Jesus in this transfiguration story is the norm. This is where Jesus typically shows up in glory and majesty and power, with everything appearing perfect, this wonderful and beautiful image of Jesus and the saints and the holy people around him. The problem is, if we believe that that's where Jesus shows up, if that's what is normative for Jesus, then we go about living our ordinary lives that have their inconsistencies and their pain and their struggles. We go about with our uncertainties and assume that we must be far from Jesus. If we are experiencing not this mountaintop, beautiful, glorious experience, but what is very typical human life. If we come to believe that Jesus only shows up in these mountaintop experiences that are full of glory and wonder, then most of our lives, by definition, would have to be different apart from who God is. But this story that we are given of the transfiguration is not the normative story of Jesus in the Gospels. And it's not the highlight or the end of the story of Jesus in the Gospels. This is right in the middle of Mark's Gospel. And what's interesting is that it happens and ends so quickly that even the disciples are confused about what is going on. Jesus, in this moment, I believe, is trying to show forth and explain to them then, to us now, yes, here you can see what I can do. But to understand who I am, to follow me, to be a part of what I'm doing, now you need to pay attention to what I actually do. What I actually do. While Jesus has the power of God, while he is God made flesh on earth, while he is able to summon Moses and Elijah to be by his side and blind the disciples with this incredibly brilliant robe that he's wearing, this is just one small part of the story. In fact, as they come down this mountain, we'll find out that there is a young man who is deeply ill and in need of help, and his father's desperately looking for that. And Jesus heals him. Jesus goes right back into the crowds of people that are confused or scared or lost, who are battling with some kind of limitation or pain or disease or struggle, something that is holding them back. And that is where Jesus does his ministry. That is where Jesus so often shows up. Now, we may prefer the moments of glory, the moments of radiance and beauty. Certainly, if we could stay in that spot, as Peter says, hey, let's build a house and just stay here, we would do that. No one wants to have the kind of uncertainty or struggle or pain that we experience in this world. But that is part of life. That is part of our own human limitations. It is part of the effects of a broken relationship with God that we call sin. Where too often we react out of our fear or our anger or our pain or of our selfishness and cause pain to ourselves and to other people. But what Jesus does after this mountaintop experience is to begin the journey to a very different mountain that we find at the other end of the season of Lent, a mountain on which he is going to be crucified, not elevated in glory and celebration. He is going to die a humiliating way between thieves. It is going to appear as if there is no hope, that he has been defeated, that the one who could call down Moses and Elijah and armies of angels instead has been conquered by the very awful and evil things of this world that they are afraid of, that we are afraid of. And yet, That's not the end of his story either. As we know, Easter follows. From that death comes resurrection. From that defeat comes new hope. From that moment where it looks as if all is lost, in fact, God rebuilds the relationship between us and him. God transforms the very nature of reality and demonstrates completely and totally for us now and for all time that God's love is the ultimate power and that it does conquer all things. And that it is not always perfect glory up on the mountaintop, that God's love often is meeting us in those places of crucifixion, meeting us in those places of brokenness, to say that there too can be resurrection here. There can be new life out of what looks like a dead end. There can be hope in this moment that seems as if all hope is lost. Because in Jesus' death and resurrection, he conquers death, and we are joined into that. So that when we are facing our moments of crucifixion, where it seems as if death and has won over all because the sky is falling, because we have royally screwed things up at work or in our families, because a loved one has died, because we've gotten that diagnosis that no one ever wants to hear, because that addiction is just seizing us too greatly, because our mental health is falling off of a cliff, because nothing seems to go right and we don't know what the next step is going to be forward. What Jesus demonstrates is, I, the one who can bring forth glory, I, the one who can make all things new and all things right, am there at the cross with you. I am there in the valley with you. I am there in that moment of struggle and pain and death. And I am there to bring new life and resurrection out of it for you. The promise of Jesus in the story of Transfiguration is a reminder of who he truly is, so that in those moments of pain, of feeling lost, of struggle, that we remember the line from John's gospel, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. Whatever darkness may surround us, might try to claim us, God's light shines forth. Not just the light of glory on this mountaintop on Transfiguration Sunday, or even the light of the empty tomb on Easter morning, but the light of the crucified Christ himself. The God who suffers with us. The God who goes to the very depths of struggle in order to take hold of us and promise us hope and a new beginning and a new life. The story of the Transfiguration. It's not the end of the story where everything is glorious and wonderful. It is the down payment to understand what Jesus is truly about. We, as people of God, then are able to recognize, to join in, to claim, to hope for, and act for that resurrection within ourselves, within the world around us. It is that promise of new life and hope for us and for all people that guides us forward. God commands there on the mountaintop, this is my son, listen to him. Listen to him and what he does. In Lent, I'm inviting us to do that by going through the Gospel of Mark, to listen to what Jesus says, to see what Jesus does. Because it is so important to see and hear that which he does, the story of the cross, the story of victory of life over death, when there are so many voices within our world that are telling us so much different. We need to listen to the words of Christ instead of the words of violence and despair and anger and hatred, to the words of division, to the stories of hopelessness, to the stories of judgment based on what the world's idea of success is. Because Jesus comes to judge and condemn the sin that claims us, but not to condemn us, but instead to make us new, to transform us and the world around us. Today, let us recognize and celebrate the glory of God. But as we go forth, tomorrow, this week, the weeks ahead, when we find ourselves in those valleys and those moments of crucifixion, remember that the light continues to shine in the darkness. The darkness has not, cannot, will not overcome it. Because the light of God's love is greater, more eternal, more permanent than anything else that we may see. This is good news. Amen.